Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station. Available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday evening, July 15, 2010. It is now about 8:01 p.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good evening, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Send us email anytime to comments@libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, sutton-associates.net. In his bi-weekly newsletter, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on contraryinvestorscafe.com. Lastly, I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. We also have a map. If you can just indicate where you are on the map, that's it. You don't have to give any information out. I'd just like to see where you're calling from or where you're listening from. It's a cute little map, you know, a little pin on it. Hi, everybody. I'm Joe Cristiano. I'm your host this evening, Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. This evening, I wanted to talk about jobs, but there were so many things going on. I got wrapped up in so many different issues this week. I hope we even get to jobs. The first thing I'd like to talk about is I just returned from a debate here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now, the debate was between the Republicans who were fighting for the primary, but they also allowed the independent to run, believe it or not, in the first congressional district in Tulsa, which is quite big. There is no Democrat running because they know they do not stand a chance. So a friend of mine just threw a hat in the ring and she says, I'm going to run. No political experience or anything. And she did remarkably well. But here is where I'm having a problem. And I continue to have these problems, and I'm sure I make more enemies than anything else. I'm sure no one becomes enlightened when I mention things such as this. And because it is very, very difficult for people to understand what I am saying. The reason why they have difficulty understanding what I am saying, the true meaning of what I am saying, and they take it, unfortunately, too literally and as an affront, is because they cannot shed themselves of belief systems that they feel are true and correct and universal and ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee. Okay? Here it is. I walk in, I'm standing in the back, I can only stay about a half hour because I had this broadcast this evening. In fact, I was there, and I stayed for about 20 minutes or so, and I ran out and ran here to start the station up. But here's the problem. The first thing that they do is they start with the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Now, folks, please don't go anywhere with that. Please don't go anywhere with that. I have nothing against the flag. I have nothing against the Pledge of Allegiance. I have a problem with pledging allegiance to the flag. We should be pledging our allegiance to the Constitution, or we should be pledging our allegiance to the people, who, a person we think is our God or whatever, not to a flag. And it just bothers me. And what bothers me within, and I've talked about this before, I am repeating myself, I continue to repeat myself, and I continue to get hate mail every time I say this, is that we say in the Constitution, originally, by the way, it said, one nation, indivisible. One nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Made sense, right? One nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now, what is missing from that? Under God. One nation under God. We had put in under God in 1951, and of course no one would vote against that because they would be political suicide. But you can't have one nation under God, because you have somewhere between, and I don't know what the number is, depending on what statistic you look at, somewhere between 8% and 19% of the people are avowed agnostics or atheists or whatever you want to call them. People who don't believe in a God as traditionally people believe in God. So once you say one nation under God, indivisible, you're saying, wait, one nation under God, we're eliminating about 20% of the people, throw them out, you know, they don't belong here, you know, you can't do it. It's like saying one nation, divisible, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And every time I hear that, I go crazy. Now, I know people don't like to hear that because they have a belief in God and they feel it should be in there. But our Constitution makes no reference to God or religion. Our Constitution said this is a country for everyone. We don't care what you believe in. You can believe in flying pigs. It's fine that you believe in flying pigs. Let them fly. It makes no difference. That is what true liberty means. And every time I hear this, the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, I cringe. I say, doesn't anyone here understand that you cannot have one nation under God, indivisible, unless you force everyone to believe in God? And this nation was not built on that premise. Now, the people who settled here, were most of them Christians? Yes, that has nothing to do with it. Even more so because most of them were Christians, actually most of them were deists, most of them didn't believe in God. But that's another story. But even if they were all Christians anyway, you'd think they would have put down, this is a Christian nation. But they did not. All right, so we went through that, which I rant on that every time in my own head. I try not to do it too often because when I do, I get hate mail. People say, I'll never listen to you again. You hate God. God will punish you. And the things I get in the mail, it's just unbelievable. People who believe can be the most hateful people in the world, by the way. I can tell you that because I'm the recipient of that stuff. Right? Then the number two thing comes up, an invocation. I go, what do you mean invocation? I mean, no one told me this was going to be a religious ceremony. So I walk, and again, I have nothing against religious ceremonies. Absolutely nothing. I have nothing against any religion. Absolutely nothing. I don't care. But guy comes up there and he says, and at first he starts with this overall, you know, give us the wisdom to you know, select the people who represent us, blah, 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 blah. Sort of an overall, really a nondescript thing. And he ends it in Jesus, in our Lord Jesus' name. And I go to myself, wait a minute. What about the Jews in the audience? What about the Buddhists in the audience? What about the Muslims in the audience? What about the atheists in the audience? What about the agnostics in the audience? What about the host of other, there are thousands and thousands of religions around the world. Thousands, folks. Not three or four. The three or four major ones in the West that we know of. But once you get away from the big, big cities, you find a host of religions. 99.9% of which you and I have never heard of. And they have nothing to do with the religions that we're familiar with. Now, is it possible those people there? Sure, it's possible. We're sort of like a melting pot, you know. Everyone comes here, you know, to better their lives. Now, I could never, ever understand that. Now, if I was running for office, and they say, well, you know, we want you to be in this debate, I'm saying, do you have an invocation? I say, yeah, I'm not going to be there. Because I don't want to speak to just Christians. I want to speak to everyone. If there's someone from Lebanon who has no hatred for anyone, a big fair trader from Lebanon, but he just happens, his parents just happen to be Muslims or the Islamic faith, I'm going to ignore him? Why? Oh, because they fly planes into the tower. You know, they go crazy. People will not divest themselves of their belief systems of this is the way the world should be. Well, folks, we don't know how the world should be. Can you imagine us saying this is the way the world should be? This is what we're saying. We have no right to say how the world should be. Well, I got past that. At this point, I'm ready to walk out, but I want to hear my friend. Now, she has very, I'll be honest with you, very little education. Very nice lady. Hardworking lady. Very little education, the whole bit. I mean, she, you know, if you took her qualifications, you'd say, this girl doesn't have it. But she at least understands the true concept of liberty. And that's why I went to go listen to her speak. And what was surprising, of the five, let's say there was one, two, three, four, five people there. She was one of the five. I would have given her the highest marks in her introduction. And let me tell you something, that surprised the heck out of me. She was short, succinct, and she didn't go ramble on. Well, the first guy that gets up, what do you think he talks about? He wants to lead the charge. And he talked about leading the charge for the people. Leading the charge for the people. I'm going nuts. I'm going, where we're going? I'm not charging anywhere. I want to go home. I want to go to sleep. I'm not charging anywhere. It is so easy. It is just so, so easy to say we're going to lead the charge. And everybody goes, yeah, he's going to lead the charge. So we don't want anyone to lead any charge. We want to be left. I want to lead my charge. I want to lead my charge. I want you to lead your charge. I don't want some character in Washington leading any charge. But he never defined what he meant by that. What did he mean by that? But he talked for 5 minutes about leading the charge. And then the next guy gets up. Oh, and by the way, he happened to be a minister. I said, oh, that's even great. That's even better. We're going to, you know, but he was good enough not to throw in all the religious stuff. He was at least kept it secular, which he should have done. Because this is our Constitution is secular, and that's the way we should, our elected officials, regardless of their faith. I don't care if we can have the Pope, we can elect the Pope into Congress. But when he's a congressman, he is secular. Now, the next guy gets in there, and what is he? Yeah, you know, he's got a suit on with sneakers. I thought that was cool. I said, this guy's my man. He gets up there, does not know how to use a microphone. You can't hear him. It's so distorted you can't hear a word he says. And he's yelling into this microphone. He's got a booming voice. You know, can't hear it. Very difficult to understand. So here I am listening to this character. And what he's talking about, what is he talking about? He says, the Constitution gives us no rights. We have no basically inalienable rights. Our rights come from God, and God will lead. And then I had God leading the charge. I said, I can't handle this anymore. I said, what is it about me that I could agree with nothing? I agreed with no one so far. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that is just truly amazing. And I said, you know, no wonder why my station doesn't go anywhere. Because people listen to us, this guy's crazy, you know, he's going to go to hell when he dies, and all this other stuff. But people don't want to speak rationally. They don't want to discuss the issues rationally. And it just drives me nuts. Well, at least my friend Angela got up. Her name is Angela Odell. She's running for, she's an independent, but libertarian independent. First district, first congressional district, which is Tulsa, Wagner, Broken Arrow, that area. State of Oklahoma, U.S. Congress. You know, I wish her all the luck in the world. I hope she gets in. But she just talked about, you know, she's going to make sure that our rights are preserved according to the Constitution. Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. Nothing more has to be said. Finished. Goodbye. Nothing more to say. That's it. Now, we can say it comes from God, it comes from Jehovah, it comes from... And then we get into this argument about who gave it to her, which God are you talking about? Please, please don't go there. I can't handle that. I can't handle any of that. Madonna, I tell you. Well, anyway, then I had to leave. What a relief I had to leave. And I was wearing my Liberty Talk Radio t-shirt. It was really funny. Everyone was looking at me like, oh, radio guy's here. Radio guy's here. Be careful what you say. I loved it. It was great. Anyway, it was great. Before we get on to our subject, which we will may never get to, by the way. I watched the Michael Moore video, Capitalism, A Love Story. Manacha Buddha then, Manacha. Again, here we go. You know, this guy is too much. He is just too much. This thing is clown territory. This whole video is clown territory. Now, if you don't want to shed any belief system, you fall right into that hole. It's a black hole, and you'll never get out. I can go on for hours about this video. He talks about capitalism. What does he mean by capitalism? What's his definition of capitalism? I don't ever want to talk about capitalism, folks. Don't ever want to talk about capitalism. I want to talk about free enterprise. Capitalism is just a means of capitalizing entities in order for that capital to generate a business environment under a particular set of under the system that's in place. It could be communism. It could be socialism. It could be fascism. I mean, capitalism was big, live, and kicking in Italy under what's his name? Mussolini. It was capitalism. Actually, was a name coined by Karl Marx. We don't use the word. We never use the word free enterprise, because free enterprise is very clear. Free enterprise. Free enterprise. Now, once they say, "Oh, free enterprise is dead because government is doing this," no. Then now it's not free enterprise. Now it's capitalism. It's fascism. It's socialism. It's corporatism. Whatever you want to call it, but we don't want to call it free enterprise because it doesn't suit our purpose. And I'll give you an example. There was a poor guy. This poor guy. He lost his house after X number of years, 22 years, whatever. And he was being thrown out by the bankers. And boy, he had nothing good to say about those bankers. Him and his wife was being thrown out. And he was taking everything. I've been here 22 years. I'm these bankers are throwing me out. You know, all right. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to see anyone thrown out of the house. I think that's horrible. It's got to be. I never want to do it myself. That's why I paid off my mortgage as soon as I can. And I hold on to it. And now I just rent my house from the state because I pay taxes every month. So I just rent my house from the state. And that's another story. But anyway, I don't want to get thrown out. If I get thrown out, I want to throw me out. I don't want anyone else to throw me out. So they said, but what you didn't hear is you didn't understand. You never heard why they throw him out. I mean, why? Why would a banker want to take somebody who's been in the house for 22 years and throw them out in the street? Now, this wasn't a beautiful housing division, subdivision, where the houses were $500,000, $1 million. It was sort of like a country house, like a semi-small farm somewhere, and he's being thrown out. Oh, yeah, the banks go around saying, hey, you know, that's a nice house out in that pasture. Let's throw the bum out. That doesn't, please, you know, especially people who have lived in that town for 100 years, you know, families have lived there. They all know each other. The last thing they want to do is get an old, you know, a citizen of that town and throw that poor bastard out. But you never learned why they were throwing him out. I mean, obviously thrown out because he didn't pay the mortgage, but you didn't learn anything about why he didn't pay the mortgage. You don't, I mean, for all I know, I know nothing about this guy, nothing, and I'm not casting dispersions. He could have been running a meth lab, a methamphetamine, you know, I don't know. He could be going to jail. I don't know. Could be he just ran out of hard time and had medical problems and, you know. But why, after all these years, are they throwing him out? Didn't he pay his mortgage after all these years? In other words, you know nothing. And then, of course, they say, well, that's capitalism for you. That's the bankers for you. Now, believe me, I have no love for bankers. None. Bankers are low on my totem pole. Really, really low. I tell you, they stink. All these highfalutin money managers in there, you know, they are talking about religion. They're the real devil. I'm with you there 100%. I don't like them at all. So, but we got to take everything in context. Now, this whole video goes through situations like that, one after another after another. But you have no idea. absolutely no idea what the circumstances are. You have no opportunity to study it. You have no idea, but you have nothing, you know, other than he takes something convenient. Now, here's the interesting part. At the end, he says, well, I guess we don't know what the solution is, but we know capitalism isn't working. And I said to myself, and by the way, the guy who showed it to me is a friend of mine. He thinks it's a great video. I said, you lost your mind. You've absolutely, absolutely lost your mind. What do you mean, you great video? It sucked. It's stupid. They didn't say anything. It's like going up to somebody who's down and out and saying, that person's down and out, and this person really is down and out, and yeah, it's capitalism really did it to him, I guess, and let's move to another person, and there's another person really down and out. Holy smoke. You know, I'm having such a difficult time watching or listening to anyone because very, very few people understand the true concepts of liberty. And where that becomes so evident is in the immigration issue. People talk about immigration, the walls, the troops, and all this other stuff. You know, I like our caller, and I believe me, I appreciate our callers. I do, and I don't mean to demean them or anything like that. But, you know, when we came over here 300 years ago, 400, whenever it was, and we our ships landed, no one said, excuse me, let me see your papers. We came over here, we just got off the boats, we settled here. So, they we said, hey, this is a great place, this is a free place, we want to divest ourselves of everything European. We don't want to have anything to do with those clowns anymore. We want to be left alone and to our own devices. And what do? We do everything that they do now. Can you imagine building a wall? Think how stupid that is, building a wall. And then we say, well, those drug lords are coming over here, and it's that. No, the drug lords are not coming here, folks. We are inviting them. We are the market. They are coming here because we need them. We want them. Anyway, enough. Okay. I heard something interesting on radio today. They were talking about what, you know, what makes people, you know, go crazy, commit suicide. And they said, you know what happiness is? It's earned success. Creativeness. Earned success. Earned success. And you know, if you rely on the government, there is absolutely no earned success. Because earned success requires the three paths, steps to the paths of prosperity that I advocate. This is mine. I made it up. I want all the credit and discredit for it. And that's innovation, initiative, and productivity. When we are innovative and we initiate things and then we produce things with our own hands and our own minds, that's happiness. Then we become productive and the country then becomes what? Wealthy. Our standard of living rises. Anyway, folks, it's already 25 minutes after the hour. My name is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Please call in with your point of view, 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Before we go to jobs, I want to read. I received some fabulous emails this week. Just outstanding emails. Let's see. This one is from Mark, and this hits the mark right here. Mark, you hit the mark. He said, "I got to get. Let me get my specs on here because I can't. My eyes are going to. You know." He talks about. He said, "Our current method, you know, is not a melting pot." He says it's rather balkanization. Now, folks, balkanization, you're talking about the process of, you know, assimilating, assimilation. It's the process of fragmentation or division of a region or state into smaller regions or states that are often hostile or uncooperative with one another. Often, not all the time. But really, we have sort of like a balkanization, I say. But that's because we all have our own selfish interests. Now, if we can get shed ourselves of all these belief systems about other people, like, oh, the Germans are this, the blacks are that, the Italians are this, you know, maybe we wouldn't have that. That's my point. Just you know, let it hang out. He goes on to say, conservatives want to wall up, the border. Is because they do not believe in limited government. Truly, if they did, they would not want to use tax policy and government identifications, e-verify, homeland security, and other forms of state destruction of liberty and privacy to protect their jobs, their entitlements, their government handouts. Conservatives love socialized jobs, socialized defense, socialized war, socialized housing subsidies, socialized business losses, and socialized education. But only for citizens. They hate socialized medicine. Oh, they say, I think I could. But only for citizens. Oh, but they hate socialized medicine. They do not believe in states' rights. Just look at Lincoln, the first Republican. Good point. He brings in another good point where we have to recognize exactly what we are up against, and then face it without prejudice, and it's very difficult. Here's one from Adam. Let me see. I outlined so many things. Oh, he was taking objection to one of our callers who intermingled immigration and Christian ideals, and he said, consider it to immigrants because of your Christian ideals. I want to come to your defense immediately. Your comment had nothing to do whatsoever with religion. He was coming to my defense. Their religious presumptions is irrelevant. He's absolutely right. You know, the religious presumptions are irrelevant. He goes on to say, he talks about the immigration issue. These things went on and on. They were great. I'm telling you, they were great white papers and dissertations. Illegal Mexicans that are heading back to their own country because they cannot find jobs in the United States. That's right, because during the Depression, most of them went back because there were no jobs here. Let's see. And he says he objects to this. If you can't speak English, you can't assimilate. That is silly. I really think it's silly. No system of government rewards virtue, he says. As free market economist Milton Friedman once said, virtue is rewarded when the individual is free to control their own life and choose their own path. And I had another one here that I wanted to read, and I can't find it. Which I can't remember. Why can't, you know, I got to organize myself a little bit better than I do, which is terrible the way I do it right now, and I cannot find. Here it is. We spend an inordinate amount of time in government schools during an impressionable period in our young lives. We must then spend years, decades perhaps, unlearning all of the crapola that they have fed us. Most never do. The same goes for the church, synagogue, or mosque. It is very tough to break one's mind free of archaic thought, modest or hesitant to tell, thought processes and antiquated notions involving these areas of life. I'm sorry, I went to the wrong line. though you may have been too modest, he wants me to talk more about that, blah, blah, blah. After all, the first thing that anyone who believes in personal freedom has to do is to liberate their preconditioned mindset. That is powerful words. Liberate your preconditioned mindset. Man, that is profound, folks. Folks, this is Joe Cristiano. Our call in number is 646-652-4620. 646-652-4620. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. We have no callers today, and I cannot believe it. We don't have people calling and yelling at me. I want to talk a little bit about jobs. You know, we say, oh, it's about jobs. It's all about jobs, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, you really think about it. What the hell is a job? What is a job? It's about jobs. I really don't understand what that means. It's about jobs. Think about it. Well, what's a job? You know, my wife says, hey, stromboso, throw out the garbage. That's my job. I throw out the garbage. I solve the job problem. Geez, the economy is getting better. I have a job. I threw out the garbage. All right, we're on the track to recovery. Why, is that right? Does that make any sense to you? Doesn't make any sense to me. So we need jobs. Well, if it's jobs, well, why doesn't a person create a job? Do something. In other words, you've got to do something. You've got to do something. You cannot wait around and wait for someone else to hire you. People perceive jobs. They all perceive jobs today as someone hiring them. Well, just think about that for a second. Where did the job come from? What if that person who started the company in the first place that you want to be hired by, if that person said, I'm going to sit around and wait for someone to hire me. What if everyone sat around and said, I'm going to wait. I'm just going to send out my resume to everybody. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to wait for someone to hire me. Think about that, folks. How many people would have jobs? You want a hint on that? How many people would have jobs if everyone sat around waiting for someone else to hire them? But no one else is creating the jobs. They just want to have a job. Think about the concept. Employment would be absolute zero. 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 Everyone would sit around, starve to death. Folks, I want you to think of that concept. That is so incredibly profound. You should be going nuts at this point. In fact, you should at least be calling in 646-652-4620 and say, Joe, you're brilliant for saying that. Milton Friedman was in China. You know, he's the well-known Austrian economist. And his guide was showing him a site where there were hundreds of people working in a field because they were constructing this big thing, whatever it was, this building. And he asked this guide, he said, well, you know, and this is only 10 years ago. He says, I don't understand. He says, what is it that you don't understand? He says, what? He said, why do you have all of these people working with shovels when one of your massive bulldozers can do all that work? One person could do all the work of all these people and do it faster and more efficiently. And this guy said, well, then, he said, these people wouldn't have jobs. He said, well, is the objective is to create jobs or construct this building? He says, well, construct the building. He says, then you should use the bulldozer. He says, we can't because these people have jobs. He says, well, then if your concern is jobs, give everyone spoons. Now, don't laugh, folks. Please do not laugh. Give everyone spoons. And he meant it. Now, and I want you to start breaking this down to the very... Don't get philosophical with me. We're talking about basics here. We're talking about such incredible basics here. This is Dick and Jane. This is pre-kindergarten stuff that I'm talking about. Do you realize that the number of jobs required for that construction site is predicated on the size of the shovels that are given to the people? Think about that. Please think about that. And think about Obama and creating jobs. Same thing. Obama and this construction site, same thing. In other words, if they would have given, and I really want you to understand this, if they would have given everyone larger shovels, they probably would have hired fewer people. Thus, there were fewer jobs. Does that make sense to you folks? Does that make any sense whatsoever? Now, what if they gave everyone smaller shovels? They would have hired even more people. Now, I read this in one of his articles, and they didn't say how many people were in the field. I assumed there were a lot. I mean, lots of people. But his comment was valid. Then give them spoons. They could have hired 10 times the number of people. Now, you can't say, well, that's ridiculous, give them spoons. Well, why are spoons any more ridiculous than a shovel when you have earth-moving equipment that can do the job infinitely faster and would only take a couple of people? Think about it. Now, think about the concept of jobs. Everyone wants a job. No one's creating the jobs. Creating the job is not a job. You're the person that the government is coming after. You're the person that the government is going to pick on and say you're mean and rotten and no damn good and you're going to be taxed to death. But the government is interested in jobs. I have two companies. I probably will close both of them next year. Why? I don't want to go through it. Don't want to go through the extra taxation. The extra accounting, the accounting that we're going to have to go through is going to be phenomenal. It's going to put me out of business. I say, shut it down now. Let someone else create the atmosphere in which, or the organization, in which jobs are needed. And you see, when I go, a lot of people are going with me. You see what I mean? Now, my point to all these people who are worried about the economy and worried about everything, and they should be worried about the economy, is you want a job? Create a job. Be innovative. Use your initiative. Be productive. Don't lean on the government. Don't lean on unemployment. Get out there and do something. Because if you don't, and the guy next to you doesn't, no one will be hiring. And that's exactly what is happening. You see what I mean, folks? You have to understand the concept of jobs. It's not jobs that we need. If we want jobs, well, give everyone a shovel in the United States and say, we're going to dig a hole from South Carolina to Los Angeles. Going to dig this one trench. And then when we get from South Carolina to Los Angeles, now when we get to Los Angeles, we're going to fill it all in again, and everyone's going to be employed. We're going to have 100% employment. You see what I mean? And we buy into that. We are so incredibly narrow-minded that we buy into that. Just like, was it Adam that said, was it Adam that said about the school system? Yeah, Adam said, one of my listeners, we spend an incredible amount of time in government schools during our impressionable period in our young lives. We must then spend years, decades, perhaps, unlearning all of that crapola that they fed us. And this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to say, hey, don't say, yeah, we need jobs, man. That's the problem. If we only had jobs, man, it kind of be better. Well, then pick up a spoon and start digging. I don't care what you dig. Go dig in your backyard. He's got a job. What is he doing? Got a spoon. Hey, you want to make him more productive? Give him a bigger spoon. Hey, we just increased his productivity 100%. He went from a teaspoon to a tablespoon. Boy, am I good. Boy, we increased productivity. And then tomorrow, if I was a politician, I'd say, well, we just increased productivity threefold. I think there's three tablespoons to teaspoons to a tablespoon. We just increased productivity threefold, ladies and gentlemen. Things are on the right path. And everyone buys it. Absolutely everyone buys it. Now, why don't we go and start our own jobs? Businesses. I mean, real businesses that improve the standard of living, improve the life of your life and everyone around you. Well, that takes a lot of hard work. It's not your job. It's a lot of hard work. Just like the farmers did during the Depression, and they still do. They work really hard. And they're always trying to make things better for themselves and their family. And they're coming up with new ways of producing things. Improving the mechanisms that they use. That is productive work. And you know, I'm not of the persuasion. I have iPads, iPhones, iTouch, I got them all. I'm not of the persuasion that that improves much of anything. It is only a tool. If that tool is used in creating something, if it's used in our innovative process, if it's used as part of our initiative to produce something, I'd say it has a place. If not, not worth anything. Yeah, we got lots of email, we learn what's going on, and we can reach out, and I can watch pictures of Aunt Tilly, of the babies, and all that crapola again. It's not jobs, folks. It never was about jobs. But the government tells us it's about jobs, and we buy it hook, line, and sinker, because we don't think we will not shed ourselves of our belief systems, that we should just burn them all up. It's tough. It is very, very, very tough. Here's another one. There's nothing to do with jobs, but the government is concerned now that people are saving money to get out of debt. The government's concerned about that. Why would the government be? Why in the world would the government be concerned about that? The government is concerned about people say, "Holy smoke, Benjamin Franklin! A penny saved is a penny earned. A penny saved is a penny earned." Because if we saved our money and we had some money in the bank, and we said, hey, I would like to do something, we have the resources from which we can initiate that we can create something, we can use our innovation, we can use our initiative, we can use our productivity, because we have saved our money, and we can put it to work. You see, we're not putting money to jobs. We're not putting money to jobs. We're putting money to work. And we are going to work. Could you imagine that people are just incensed that they're only getting unemployment for 99 weeks? My God, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I thought 99 weeks. I thought the unemployment was 6 weeks or so, 4 weeks or 3 weeks or something. I mean, something like that. I didn't know. I was fired by this company many, many years ago, and I was happy to go. I was fired because I was honest with my employees. And I said, boy, am I going to get fired for this? And I was. I was called in and fired. And I was delighted to be fired. You know, when I left, I had helped somebody start a business that wasn't going anywhere. The guy was a total loser. Had to take it over again. I had some equipment. I had no idea what to do with it. I went home. Well, actually, I went right to my wife's audiology practice where I had all the equipment and storage and stuff. And I picked everything up and I start calling people to see if I can get some customers. And you know what I forgot to do, folks? And I mean this sincerely. You know what I forgot to do is file for unemployment. I was eligible for, I don't know, X. Now, this is many years ago. It was a 99 weeks. It was probably, I don't know, 36 weeks or whatever it was. I could have collected big-time unemployment. Never collected a dime, not one penny. I was too busy. I was too busy being innovative. I was too busy using a tremendous amount of initiative. And the way I did it, I became highly productive. You see, I didn't seek a job. I sought to create something that would be successful, which would create my happiness. And I think that's what I started this program on with, to start off with, is that happiness is creating something, being successful in creating something. And I was too enthralled with trying to be happy creating something. And now as a result of all that work, and folks, let me tell you something, I, you don't want to know what I went through to make that company work. It was horrible. It took years off my life. It took years of life away from me. And I regret doing it, I'll be honest with you. But now, this company hires people. And they have jobs. They now have jobs. Folks, my name is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Call in number 646-652-4620. Folks, there's no call-ins tonight. I can't believe it. 646-652-4620. Please, someone just call and say, Joe, you're an idiot. I'll be perfectly happy with that. I am an idiot. What can I tell you? But I have conviction. I have such strong conviction. And that's why I had such a difficult time listening to the preamble to this debate tonight. No one was clearly, they had no clear foundation from which they were working. They were all, oh yeah, we got to do this, and we got to support our troops, and well, we got immigration's bad, and no, it's bad, and they're all confused. You know, I'm not confused. I'll be very honest. I am not confused at all. Everything in my mind is clear. It's clear to me what we should be doing as a nation. It's clear to me what I should be doing as a person. You know, one reason, and this is getting too personal, that I think my wife stays with me, is that she admires the way I think. She's a lovely gal, wonderful gal. But she admires the way I think. And you know something? I'm 67, well, 68 years old. I don't feel that way. I mean, I feel like I'm still a teenager. Still ride my motorcycle, play drums, you know, I'm a kid. I really am a kid at heart. I like to do young things. Tomorrow morning, I get up really early. I'm going biking with my friends. I'm going bike riding with my friends. 6:30 in the morning. I'm going to be out here at 6:30. My wife's, at a conference, so I got to walk the dogs at 5:30 in the morning, get all the stuff done at 5:30 in the morning so I can go biking with my friends and get back before it gets really hot because it's the heat index around here has been 115 degrees. Horrible. But I am pleased with the way I think. And part of that process is that when I hear someone say something that is contrary to what I thought was right, I don't get angry anymore. I want to know what they have to say. And a lot of times they're right. I go, never thought of that before. I love when I have a conversation and I walk away swearing, like, son of a bitch, God damn it. I'm not mad at the person. I'm mad at myself. Why didn't I think of that? That's a good point. Every once in a while, my wife will come up with just a gem. I mean, it's a profound statement. One of my favorites was, she says, I hate the ACLU. Hate them. She says, every time they come out with a ruling, she said, it's horrible. She says, I just hate to hear anything the ACLU has to say. She says, unfortunately, they're always right. But, you know, it's such a profound thing to say. Because when you read the transcript and see what the ACLU is doing, all they're doing is protecting your rights. You may not like the person they're protecting, but we're all equal under the eyes of the law. And she makes these profound statements that just blow me away. Folks, I got about 10 minutes more to go, and I'm going to see what else there is to talk about. I think we covered a lot of ground tonight. Rand Paul. Rand, not Ron Paul. Rand Paul. He sucks. Let me say this again so you don't misunderstand me. Rand Paul sucks. And I'll tell you why he sucks. Because he is not like his father. He is not a chip off the old block. What this character does is he said in an interview, he says, well, I don't go as far as my father goes. Now, what is that supposed to mean? I don't go as far. Is that 32 and a half feet? I love statements like that. What do you mean by that? He says, I'm a moderate on the war on terror. The person interviewing says, oh, thank you very much for those words of wisdom. Thank you very much. I would have said, you idiot. First of all, you suck. Secondly, what the hell do you mean? That was the dumbest thing, one of the dumbest things I ever heard. You're a moderate. What the hell is that supposed to mean? That was a political thing. Rand Paul sucks. Don't vote for him. Stay away from the polls. Be a dissident like me. And, you know, I want to talk about, you know, that one objection to English, not making English as our only language is that they say, well, how could you have a military if everyone speaks a different language? It's easy. You don't have a military. You only need a military when you're invading another country unwarrantedly. If we were friends with all the other countries and we traded with them and we had an armed citizenry and we still had a central government that had, you know, made weapons and all this high-tech stuff and, you know, and we had a small core army, you know, if the guy didn't speak, he'd have to learn. A volunteer army and they'd learn. But we would all, everyone would be in the army. Because everyone have their gun in the house. If someone comes in here, we all get up in arms. And no one's going to go against 300,000 people. Nobody. 300 million people. And no one's going to invade us anyway. First of all, we're too far away from anybody. By the time they got here, you know, we'd bomb them to death. You know? It doesn't take many people speaking English to do that. But if you're going to have an empire, you better all speak the same language. And, you know, you don't need discipline. You know why you don't need discipline? Because you're not telling anybody to do anything. And think of that. Think about it. It's not like jobs. It's like the jobs that I just told you about. You don't need discipline because you're not telling someone to do something that they don't want to do. Like, press that button, do that, put that drone there, and bomb that place. And you're thinking, oh, crap, I'm going to kill a lot of innocent women and children. But you've got to press the button. That's when you need discipline. If someone invaded us and we were all protecting ourselves, discipline's not required. It's innate. It's there. Everyone is disciplined because everyone's defending their home. Everyone's defending their family. Everyone's defending their land. Everyone's defending their city, their county, their state, their country. Everybody. You don't need discipline. It's there, folks. And the solution to the immigration problem, there it is. Open borders. Be friends with everybody. Let everyone go wherever they want to go. And that includes me and you. You know, the other day I heard on television, I'll make this last comment, then I'll get off the air. I heard that people on welfare were being given ATM cards, and they tracked the use of the ATM cards, and they were used at places to watch girls doing pole dances. And now everyone's up in arms. I think that's great. Give me an ATM card. I'd love to watch a pole dance. Not that I would tell my wife that, but I would love to watch a pole dance. Now, we gave the card. We didn't say, you can't go to the pole dance. Don't watch Lulu there in the pole dance. No, they went, and now we're angry. Well, did we think that they were going to use it other than that? Unbelievable. Anyway, folks, I enjoyed this hour. There were no callers, and I'm really disappointed. I'm really surprised. But anyway, it doesn't make any difference. I got a lot off my chest. I hope when you listen to this, you learn something. And if you disagree or even agree, please give me some email to comments@libertytalkradio.com. All right, here we go. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated. Your life is in your own hands. But with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. The government is like training wheels. They control the ride and your every move. Ron Paul has a sign at his desk that says, don't steal. The government hates competition. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Crispiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.